I remember a few years ago when we celebrated the year of St. Joseph. What year was that, do you remember? 2021? Anyway, year of St. Joseph. And I ran across a study of the different men named Joseph in the Bible. Of course, the central one is Joseph, the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that was the focus of that year. And then the other big Joseph is the Joseph of the Old Testament, from the time of the patriarchs, Joseph, son of Jacob, who was sold into slavery and then became the savior of the family of Jacob. But there are a number of others, including one of the men identified as one of the brothers of Jesus. So on Sunday, when we heard about the mother and the brothers of Jesus coming to see him, maybe one of those guys was named Joseph. But in the New Testament, there are two other Josephs, aside from Joseph of Arimathea. In the Acts of the Apostles, there are two other Josephs. One of them is the Joseph who was not chosen to be the replacement of Judas. Remember, Matthias was chosen, and the other guy, whose name was Joseph, he wasn't chosen. And then there is Joseph from Cyprus, whom the apostles gave a special nickname, son of encouragement, Barnabas. And that's today's saint. So his real name is Joseph, but the nickname or the title that the apostles gave him stuck. And so now he's known everywhere and only as Barnabas, which literally is translated as son of encouragement. But you have to understand that kind of Semitic way of thinking. Son of encouragement doesn't mean that his parents are encouragement. It means he is an encouraging figure. Maybe in English it might be clearer to say he was the great encourager or something like that. The great encourager, Barnabas. So that's today's saint. You might notice that the liturgy has a bit of ambivalence about how to honor Barnabas. This is not a feast like all the other apostles. They're given the rank of a feast, sing the Gloria and everything. But this, since he's not one of the 12, he's not one of the apostles, but he's very apostolic, the liturgy gives him a memorial. And then there are different options for the readings. The first reading we heard today is assigned to the Feast of St. Barnabas, and then the Gospel that I read is the reading that goes for today, Tuesday of the 10th week, although there is another Gospel available for Barnabas, and that was one of the options. I spoke yesterday about how the liturgy has different seasons and different rhythms and different subtleties, so this is one of them. So it's a way of honoring Barnabas, but not as much as we honor the apostles. Barnabas, he's a very appealing figure, but a kind of a background figure. He's a key figure, he has a special role, but his role is to encourage others, and so when he's successful, he himself gets replaced. And the best example of that is in his relationship with Saul. He's the one who got Saul, and he was the one who made it possible for Saul to be incorporated into the church in Jerusalem. Nobody else trusted Saul. And then when Saul was in trouble and they sent him out of Jerusalem, he went back to Tarsus, it was Barnabas who went and sought him out and said, hey, this guy needs to be given a more prominent place in the church. He has a genuine gift. And so Barnabas brings Saul into the church of Antioch. And in time, Saul emerges as the great apostle, the great missionary. And Barnabas fades into the background a little bit. Now, as I was reflecting on Barnabas, because he has this kind of personality that is other-centered, he's an encouraging person. You might call him an optimist or a person of a positive attitude. Not all the apostles are like that. You know, the apostles, some of them have hot tempers, and some of them are very skeptical, and some are hard to get along with. But Barnabas seems like the kind of person who would be easy to get along with. Anyway, as I was pondering him, I don't know if this is a distraction, but I'll just share it. What came to my mind was a scene from that movie, Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank Redemption is a great movie, a bit heavy. I mean, it's not a movie for children. It's a prison movie, and so there's a lot of vile language and violence, brutal actually. But anyway, the main characters are these two friends, two prisoners. The black guy is Morgan Freeman, played by Morgan Freeman, great actor, and his character's name is Red. And then this other guy, played by Tim Robbins, is Andy. So I'm thinking about Andy because I think Andy is something like a Barnabas. Did anyone see that movie? Shawshank Redemption. Okay, if you saw the movie, this will make sense to you. If you didn't see the movie, sorry, it won't make any sense. But there's a key scene in the movie where Andy, who is actually innocent, but he's in jail, he's on a work crew with a bunch of prisoners, and overseeing the work crew are the prison guards. The chief of the prison guards is an absolute monster. He is a really wicked, brutal, violent man. The kind of person you would not want to be around. And so he's overseeing the work crew. And Andy overhears this guy, this monster, complaining that he has won a big amount of money in some kind of a sweepstakes or a lottery or something. And he's complaining that the government's going to take all the money because of the taxes. And he's cursing, and he's just a vile character. Well, Andy overhears this and puts down his shovel or whatever he was doing, and he starts walking toward this guard. And the other prisoners are saying, wait a minute, Andy, don't get close to that guy. He's got a big stick in his hand, and he's ready to beat any prisoner. And Andy says, you know, you could actually save that money, that you could get a tax-free agreement of some kind out of it, because Andy was a banker or some kind of finance minister or something. And the reaction of this brutal guard is to grab him by the throat and haul him over to the edge and throw him off the building. And he's holding his big stick. And Andy's saying, no, I'm serious. You could actually save all the money tax-free. And what's striking about this is that Andy took the risk of helping someone whom no one would want to help. He's the friend of no one. But Andy does him a favor. And then he says, I'll even do the paperwork for you. All you have to do is buy some beers for my buddies here in the work crew. And the next scene in the movie is these prisoners are relaxing in the sunshine drinking beer, and they bring a beer over to Andy, and Andy doesn't even want one of them. So Andy has not only done a favor to this monster of a prison guard, but he's also done a favor to all the prisoners, and he himself didn't get anything out of it except the satisfaction of having helped everybody else. Now, why do I mention that scene? It's a turning point in the movie. It brings forth the character of Andy in his future career in the prison. But Barnabas is something like this. When he helped Saul, remember, Saul was a brutal persecutor of the Christians. So when he experienced his conversion, the Christians wanted nothing to do with him. They didn't trust him. And the Jews, who were anti-Christian, they didn't want anything to do with him either, because now he was proclaiming Jesus Christ. So Saul was really friend of no one. And when he went to Jerusalem, all he did was get into arguments with people. And no one could trust him. Well, Barnabas was the one, like Andy in the movie, who took the risk of actually getting to know this Saul and helping him, being like the liaison between him and the rest of the church. And the enormous fruit of it, well, that's the history of the church, because Saul becomes the great evangelist, apostle Paul, and Paul has been called by some people the founder of the church. I mean, he's such a key figure that we can't imagine the early church without him. But without Barnabas, we don't have Saul. We don't have St. Paul. St. Paul is banished to the edges because no one can trust him. So that's St. Barnabas. And the church needs all of us, right? The church needs every kind of personality and every charism. The church needs the bold proclaimers of the word and the people who will march out into danger and those who will serve in the background and those who take care of things that nobody notices. And the church needs Barnabases, people who will encourage others, people who will take this role of building up others, being agents of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, who was filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. So that's Barnabas. Now, the gospel that I just read was not chosen for the feast of St. Barnabas. It just happens to be the next selection from the Sermon on the Mount, which we started reading yesterday. Yesterday, the Beatitudes. Today, Jesus' description of his disciples as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So it wasn't chosen for Barnabas, but it actually fits Barnabas very well. Barnabas is really salt of the earth. He really becomes an agent that builds up others. Like salt makes preserves things and makes them taste better. Barnabas is really a light. He's a light in the world. He doesn't hide his own faith. He puts it at the service of others, at the encouragement of others. So you can get a good understanding of Barnabas by applying these verses to him. He is a light set on a lampstand so that it gives light to all in the house. Barnabas gave light to everybody in the house of the church. That's what we're all called to be. Maybe we don't have his kind of personality. Not everybody is easy to get along with. Not everybody has this kind of a charism of encouragement. But all of us are called to be light. To be light. Not to be shining light on ourselves all the time, but to hold up the light of faith, the light of the gospel, so that others can see, even if they don't see us. Right? The purpose of a light is not to attract attention to itself. It's to illuminate everything else, like Barnabas does. So with that awareness of that call to be encouragers, to be great encouragers, let's ask the intercession of St. Barnabas and go forward as the light of the world.